Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. In your Schofield Bible, page 1217. We'll be reading the last three verses of this chapter. 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. And we'll read the verses all in unison. All of us joining together on all three verses. Shall we stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God? Okay, let's begin together, please. Free fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. We pray that you'd help our service to be all that you'd want it to be. Thank you for giving us a man of God, and he's been faithful all these years, and we're sure for him. We pray that you'd bless him as he preaches again to us tonight. Give us hearts that are hungry, minds that are willing to listen. And give us, I pray, all that we need tonight from the service. Thou dost know the need, and thou dost know our hearts. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I think about John Thrall. I think about Ms. Housenab in Alaska. We took a cruise to Alaska, and we had a little stopover in a little bitty town. What was it called? It was called Skagway. I think it was Skagway, Alaska, a little bitty Alaskan kind of town, just exactly the kind of town you'd think would be in Alaska. You're walking down that little main street of town, just a bunch of souvenir shops mainly, and looked up, and there were two Alaskan dogs there. And I said, we've got to have our picture made with those dogs. And so Ms. Hiles took a picture of me with those dogs, and I took a picture of her, and I was amazed. And just looked like Alaska. And so we started to walk away, and I said to Ms. Howes, I said, isn't that amazing? I said, where in the world, besides right here, could we find a couple of dogs like that? She said, John Thrall's house back home. And I just ruined my whole trip to Alaska. And I thought about that a minute ago. And I was also thinking, John, how long have you been married? Almost 40 years. You may be, if you're not the first, you're one of the first couples I married here at First Baptist almost 40 years ago. And it's wonderful. My good friend and our missionary, Brother Kevin Wynn, had something tragic happen to him. He and his wife had been in the fields for years, and they had lived in meager circumstances. I wish you could, and they have, I think, seven or eight children, don't they? Eight children. And they just cramped circumstances. And finally, after all the years on the field, they got to build them a house, and the house was nearing completion. And all of a sudden, the government of Mexico just bulldozed their house to the ground. And Mrs. Wynn, bless her heart, she's lived all these years without complaining. And finally, her dream was shattered. And the pastor school last year, by the way, we took an offering for them to rebuild the house, or help rebuild the house. And I guess we must have gotten $35,000, $40,000, so I'm not sure how much. But I got thinking about that. What a tragic thing that is. Tonight, I'm going to speak on something more tragic than that, along the same line. I want to talk tonight on the subject, He is my landlord, and I am his tenant. He is my landlord, and I am his tenant. I promise you, since we started a bit late, I promise you that I will not belabor you or keep you longer than usual, and we'll be gone about the same time, which is about 11:35. And I do promise you that we will not belabor, and we'll be out about the same time as usual. Father, I want to be a blessing tonight. That's all. I pray you help me as I speak. I pray you answer the prayer of Brother Sally a while ago. May the power of God rest in this little tongue, on this little tongue and body, and this simple preacher. And may something be done in our lives tonight, please. Amen. I'm not going to use tonight, to my knowledge, I'll not use anything humorous in my sermon. I want you to listen on purpose. I'm going to speak tonight to one person. I want the rest of you to listen in. I want to speak to one young man tonight, and nobody will know who it is. His parents won't know. And only two people in this room will know who he is. I will know, and he will know. And I want to speak lovingly to that young man, and of course to all others to whom this conversation that I bear with have with him will apply. We're having an appointment. Oh, it's been several months ago now. And he was coming to the time in his life where he had to make a decision as to what he was going to do with his life. And I told him, I said, what you ought to do is you ought to serve God some way. I'm not saying that you necessarily have to be in full-time service, but I am saying that the only thing that you ought to consider about your life is, what does God want me to do? Doesn't matter what you want to do. Doesn't matter what you'd like to do. Doesn't matter what your tastes are, what your hobbies are. As I said in my Sunday school class this morning, God made you for a purpose. And if you don't fulfill that purpose, you'll be a flop in life. And God didn't put you here just so you could have a nice place to live, a nice car to drive, and some pleasure, and so forth. God has a purpose. And this young man said, and I'm quoting him word for word right now, he said, it's my life. Can't I do what I want to with it? I address that young man tonight and all the others who are here. It's my life. Can't I do what I want to with it? In the first place, young man, I'd like to say it's not your life. You did not put breath in your body. You did not give life to that body. And it's not your life. You're not your own, 1 Corinthians 6:18 to 20 says. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You see, God made you, and then after man had fallen and sinned, and curse of sin came on him, then God not only made you, but God bought you. And he is your landlord, and you are the tenant. That body you have is not yours, it's his. And you're just using it for a while. He made it. He's the owner, and you're the property. He's the buyer, and you are the merchandise. Now, the two things the Bible says here that he bought when he purchased you, you're not your own, you're bought with a price, is first place, he bought your spirit. That means that you folks are not Christians tonight. You have no right not to be a Christian. Nobody has a right not to be a Christian. If you're not a Christian tonight, you're crooked. Oh, did you hear what I said? I said you're crooked. Because you're not your own. You're bought with a price, and Jesus went to the cross and paid the penalty for your spirit. And if your spirit does not belong to him tonight, you're crooked, you're dishonest, you're stealing, you're embezzling, and you are a criminal. I recall years ago I used to pastor a man in Texas named J.B. Cumbus. He's the fellow who said amen so much. He'd make Blackwell look like an Episcopalian rector. But he sometimes he'd say more words than I'd say. Well, I'd preach that's right. That's it. What it says in the Bible. That's what it is. Right there. I see it right there. It's there. There it is. Go on. You're doing real good. Put on park there for a while. And so on and on he'd go. Now, he and I were out soul winning one night. He was a very impetuous kind of a guy. We were out soul winning one night and together. And he had just learned how to be a soul winner. And one of the first nights, he went out. Well, we won. First person we won, met. And visited, we won to Christ, and the next two or three, we won to Christ. And then we came to a house on, I think it was Bella Vista Street, something like that, in Garland, Texas. And so I told the fellow how to be saved, and J.D. Cumber was sitting over here about where the Ray is, and I was over like this.
And the fellow said, I'm not ready to be saved. I'm not interested in being saved. And J.D. Cummins jumped up and ran over to him and pointed his finger in his face and said, what do you mean not trusting my Jesus? Why, he was infuriated. And by the way, I think he's nearer right than most of us are. Because I said again, he bought your spirit. And I say the same thing he said. What do you mean not trusting the Savior? You're not yours, you're his. He paid for your spirit. But that isn't all. He also bought your body. Now, many of you are saved, and he has your spirit, but he does not have your body. Now, you listen carefully. That body is not yours. You have no right to decide where you work. You decide where he works, where he wants you to work. You have no right to decide your vocation life. You have his vocation life because he bought your body as well as your spirit. So, not to be a successful, a surrendered Christian. Now, not to be a Christian is dishonest. Not to be a Christian is crooked and stealing and criminal and embezzling, but not to be a surrendered Christian. For if you do not give him the merchandise that he purchased, then you are dishonest. I said, you are dishonest. You people living for the devil, but you're going to heaven, you're dishonest. You people who listen to your rock music, you're dishonest. You people watching the dirty movies on the television or anywhere else, you're dishonest. Why? Because your body belongs to Jesus Christ. It's his and not yours. He purchased your spirit and your body on Calvary. Now, young man, I won't talk to you a little while longer, so sit still. I won't talk to you. Next, I want you to notice, young man, you are bought with a price. I want to discuss with you for a while, son, exactly what that price is. I want to convince you tonight that it is not your body and you don't have a right to decide what you do. It is not your life, and the only right you have is to decide what God wants you to do because God put you here for a purpose. Young man, I want to say this. You are bought with a price, and by the way, it was a payment plan. I want to discuss tonight for a few moments with you, son, what that price really was. Payment, the down payment was, before the foundation of the world, there was a foreordinate council of eternity. And at that council, Jesus Christ, before there was ever a earth, before there was ever a planet, before there was ever a star, before there was ever a moon, before there was ever a sun, before there was ever a hill, before there was ever a fish or a beast, before there was ever a bird to fly in the sky, before there was ever an earth, Jesus Christ said, I will go to earth someday, I'll become flesh, I'll be virgin born, I'll live a sinless life, and then I'll go to Calvary, and I'll pay the penalty for the sins of man. Now, that was a down payment when Jesus said, before the foundation of the world, in the foreordinate council of eternity, when Jesus said, I'll go. Now then, all those millenniums, the cloud of Calvary was hanging over the Son of God. Are you listening to me? That's what he paid for you. Now, I want to talk to you about the second payment on this payment plan, son, what Jesus paid for your body and your soul. And the second payment was in Bethlehem. Out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe. Out of eternity into time. Out of heaven and into earth. Out of immortality and into immortality. Out of angelic praise into human scorn. Out of Father's fellowship into human abandonment. Out of omnipotence into weakness. Out of omniscience into learning. Out of sinlessness into becoming sin. Out of being served into becoming a servant. Out of being praised into becoming a curse. Out of honor into dishonor. Out of ascension into condescension. Out of life into death. Out of celestial into terrestrial. Out of warmth of love into chill of hate. Out of the golden streets into dusted trails. Did you hear what I said, son? Did you hear what I said? For 33 homesick years, the Son of God, who from eternity past until Bethlehem, knew that Bethlehem was going to come. And he was a lamb slain, the Bible said, before the foundation of the world. Did you hear me, son? Oh, you say, it's my life. I've got news for you. It's not your life. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. And the only right you have to do is glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his, by the way. All of that, from the foreordinate council of eternity until Bethlehem, payment number one. In Bethlehem, leaving the fellowship of the Father, coming to fellowship with man, leaving the celestial glory, coming to terrestrial glory. He came, why, young man? For you. For you. Hey, I want to talk to you folks graduating from high school this year. I want to talk to you seniors that walk across this platform in a couple of months and receive your high school diploma. Let me tell you right now, you have no right in the world to do what you want to do. None whatsoever. None. Oh, you say, I've always wanted, not always wanted. What is he always wanting? What does he want? Let me talk about, say a word, you college graduates, we walk across this platform in a couple of months or so. You have no right to choose what you want to do. Only right you have is get on your knees and look up and say, you made me, you bought me, I'm yours. The first payment made before there was a world. The first payment made in the foreordinate council of eternity. And the second payment made when God incarnate, the God of heaven, became flesh and dwelt among us. Payment number two, young man. And that was for you. Payment number three, rejection. Rejection. For 33 homesick years, he stayed here. The Son of God, God incarnate, the lily of the valley, the bright morning star, the way, the truth, the life, the resurrection, and the life, the bread of life, the tree of life, the Savior, the living water, the light of the world. He came and lived for 33 years. And by the way, he came to a world that rejected him. Why? I'll tell you why. For that young man I'm talking to right now. His family misunderstood him. His synagogue excommunicated him. Synagogue where he grew up. I mean, as a child. Class after class after class. They knew him as a boy. They knew him as a teenager. They knew him as an adult. And that synagogue, it'd be just exactly like First Baptist Church saying, we reject Ed Lapina, which we do. I promise I'll be funny. So I'm not kidding. When he was 4 years old, he came to our church. He messed up the nursery. Ruined the beginner department. Called teachers to resign in the primary department. Nervous breakdowns in the junior department. Went through our schools. Now, if we turned our back on this good man, I want you to know that the Son of God, I'm talking about the Son of God, I'm talking about the King of Glory, I'm talking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hey, young man, hey, it's my life. It's not your life, it's his life. He was excommunicated from his synagogue. His hometown expelled him. His home country rejected him. His disciple betrayed him. His apostolic leader denied him. His disciples forsook him and fled. His creatures crucified him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. His home was a mountainside. His bed was a clump of rocks. His throne was a cross. His crown was a crown of thorns. His royal robe was a borrowed overcoat. His scepter was a walking cane. His subjects were a jeering mob. Here's the King of Kings. Hey, you know why he did it? He did it for you, young man. I said he did it for you. But you want to go to some college so you can bounce a ball and shoot through a hoop. That this pagan as the Hottentot in the jungles are. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? You want to go somewhere. You basketball players, I'm talking to you right now. Don't you give your life to playing some little boy's game, wearing underwear, bouncing the ball, shooting. You give your life to the Son of God who gave his life for you. I'm serious about that too. We're not providing that gym out there so you can spend your life bouncing a basketball. We're providing that gym out there so you can have some fun while you prepare your life to serve God. Foxes had holes into which to scurry. Birds had nests into which to fly. His preachers had homes into which to rest. But the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, had no place to lay his head. His was the payment of hatred. His was the payment of scorn. His was the payment of pain. His was the payment of loneliness. His was the payment of rejection. His was the payment of sorrows. His was the payment of being acquainted with grief. And all of this, he didn't have to come. He could have enjoyed fellowship with angelic hosts and his Father forever, but he chose to come for you. Why? So he could buy you back so you wouldn't burn in hell. You listen to me. Everybody in this room tonight, young man, to whom I'm talking and others, you deserve to go to hell, and I do too. But for the grace of God, you'd burn in hell. If somebody saves you from the fires of hell, why in the world don't you want to spend your life thanking them for it and serving him? Payment, number one. Down payment, the foreign council. Payment number two, Bethlehem. Payment number three, rejection. Payment number four, his trial. The judge of the universe is indicted for you. The mediator offers no defense. Perfection has sin entered onto his own record. Innocence is convicted by guilt. Deity is tried by humanity. Omniscience is tried by ignorance. Omnipotence is tried by weakness. Omnipresence is tried by confinement. Perfect love is tried by perfect hatred. Grace is tried by bigotry. Truth is tried by error. And God is tried by man. Why? Because he wanted to keep you out of hell.
But it's my life. Can I do what I want to?
You can be a crook and do it. You're not yours. You're bought with a price. The price of trial. He went to Caiaphas, the priest. And then to Annas, another priest, the high priest. Then to Pilate. And then to Herod. And back to Pilate. And there he stands, listen to me, guilty of all of my sins. And yours, with my sins and yours written against his record, so he could pay your price for sin. Ladies and gentlemen, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet a thorns composed so rich a crown? Where the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, it has my life and my soul and my all. He bought you, you're not your own. There he is. He's becoming a thief. He's becoming a murderer. He's becoming a liar. This is the Son of God, whose eyes never saw what was wrong to see, whose ears never heard what was wrong to hear, whose tongue never spoke what was wrong to speak, whose heart never felt what was wrong to feel, whose mind never thought what was wrong to think, whose feet never walked the path that was wrong to tread. This is the perfect Son of God charging murder to his record. Becoming a liar. Becoming a whoremonger, a queer, a hater, a blasphemer, an evildoer, an ingrate, unmerciful, a cheat, covetous, jealous, envious, a rioter, a rebel, a traitor, malicious, impatient, a drunkard, an addict, a gossip, a slanderer, a crook, an embezzler. Though he never did those things, he became that. How dare you? I say with J.D. Cumbers, what do you mean not giving your life to Jesus Christ? What do you mean saying it's your life? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. I'm not saying, every young man, that you have to be a preacher. I'm not saying that you have to be a full-time servant of God. I am saying that you have no right to decide yourself what you do with your life. Payment number five. Awareness. From the age of 12, our Lord knew his destiny. For as I said recently and often, the age of 12, every Jewish father took his son and explained to his son what the business was he was going to carry out in his life. He taught his son a business. From the age of 12, every Jewish boy knew what profession he was going to follow and what his vocation was going to be. When Jesus was 12, he was absent from his mother and his stepfather for a season. And finally they found him after that season, and Mary said, your father and I, we've been worried about you. And he said, what? Know ye not that I must be about my father's? Finish it. Business. Why? The Heavenly Father had taken him, as all Jewish boys are taken, at the age of 12, and had told the boy Jesus what he was there for. And the time he was 12, he knew as a boy he was going to Calvary. He knew as a boy he'd be tried wrongly. He knew as a boy the suffering. Hey, young man, hey, you who say you're your own, this is for you. The time he was 12, he sat in the synagogue and heard Isaiah 9 and said, that's about me. He heard the rabbi read Micah 5:2, and he said, that's me. He heard the congregation, the 22nd Psalm, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said, those are the words that I will speak from Calvary, from the cross. He read alone Isaiah 53 and knew that he was the one that was going to bear our sins, and he was the one whose stripes would heal us. He chanted Numbers 24:17 and said, that's about me. He heard the quoting of Isaiah 7:14 and said, that's about me. Every time the priest would come and offer the sacrifice, Jesus knew that sacrifice pointed to him. He knew that John the Baptist would say, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He came the first time as a lamb to pay for sin. He comes the second time as king to conquer sin. The daily sacrifice was offered. He knew that was picturing him. He saw himself on the cross. Every time a lamb was offered, an ox, a bullock, a ram, a goat, a pigeon, a turtle dove, every time one was offered, and Jesus saw it as a lad, he knew that that was a picture of him, that he must suffer, that he must die and bear the sins of mankind. During the days when our boys are playing basketball, the cloud of Calvary was over him. During the days when our young people are partying and having good, clean fun, the cloud and storm of Calvary was over him. During the days when our young folks sit in the schoolroom, and he no doubt did likewise, the storm of Calvary was over him. During the days when our young folks now have their sweethearts and their dates, this young Jesus, the storm of Calvary was over him. During the days when our young folks were preparing for marriage, the storm of Calvary was all hanging over his head. During the days when our young folks are starting their own homes and their own families, listen carefully. You know how long Jesus knew he was going to go to Calvary? 21 years. Think about that. If someone has several weeks to live, our hearts go out to them. Here's somebody who knew for 21 years he was going to have to suffer the pangs of Calvary. Hey, young squirt, he did it for you. See what I said? That was part of the payment for your sin. For 7,670 days, 7,670 mornings, he was awakened to realize why he came to die and pay the price for your sins and mine. For 184,080 hours, for 11,044,800 ticks of the clock, he knew he was destined to Calvary. Young man, can you tell me it's your life? Huh? You tell me it's your life? for you to decide what you do without making your decision on the basis of what he planned, what he wants you to do, and what his will is a lot more dishonest than the folks that bulldoze the house of Kevin Wynn. For you are the tenant, and he is the landlord. He owns the house you live in. Your body is but a place of inhabiting your spirit and your soul. He owns it. He's your landlord. And you have no right to do anything with it that would dishonor the one who bought the house and is giving you the right to live in it. Payment number 6. Death. Beaten 39 times with a cat of 9 tails. 351 hits across his back with a whip. Leaded all the way up and down the whip. 351 times Elijah said you couldn't even tell his body was a human being. Naked in public shame. Beyond recognition as a human being. Nailed to the cross. A broken heart, the Bible says. Out of Jesus' body came both blood and water, and which doctors will tell you, when blood and water come out of you, when you die, it's a sign that the heart is ruptured. He died of a broken heart. For you! For you! Young person, well, it's my life! Can I do what I want to? You can, but you'll be crooked if you do. Payment number 7. Father's back. This is the worst of all. God the Father cannot look at sin. So when Jesus had my sin and yours, young man, charged to his record, the Father could not stand to look upon it. And the Father, you say, for John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What does it mean? It means there for a moment. He gave up his only begotten Son and turned his back on Jesus. And there, the Son of God, the Darling of heaven, the Lily of the Valley, the King of kings, the King of glory, was forsaken by his Father. Why? For you, that's why. Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Judas forsook me. Perhaps he thought. Peter forsook me. The disciples forsook me. My family forsook me. My friends forsook me. My synagogue forsook me. My rabbi forsook me. Pilate forsook me. Herod forsook me. Caiaphas forsook me. Annas forsook me. My city forsook me. My country forsook me. My hometown forsook me. But my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'll tell you why. So that young man could go to heaven and he was purchasing your soul and your body and your spirit. You're his. You're not your own. And there he dipped his soul into hell and suffered the sum total of everybody's hell who'd ever gone there forever. Hush. He's about to speak. This is Calvary, into which all the streams of history pour, and from which all the rivers of prophecy originate. This is Calvary. This is the most important time in the history of the universe. There he is. Shh. He's about to speak. What was that? In the Old Testament days, when the high priest on the Day of Atonement would take the blood of the innocent sacrifice and he alone could go inside the Holy of Holies. He'd sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. And he would come outside the house of God and lift his hands toward heaven and shout so all the people could hear, "It is finished!" What did that mean? That meant that for one more year, it was finished. But when our high priest
on the cross shouted,
"It is finished!" That meant forever. One sacrifice, God's sacrifice.
Hallelujah. It is done. The great transaction's done. Jesus paid it all. The old account was settled. And now, young man, you dare to ask me, isn't it my life? Can't I do what I want to with it? No, it is not your life. And step by step tonight, we have gone through the payment plan where Jesus kept making payments and kept making payments. But let me give you some good news. There's one last payment. They put him in Joseph's borrowed tomb. Soldiers guarded that tomb. You can let the whole Russian army, Chinese army, and American army guard that tomb, but you're not keeping him there because that's the Son of God. After 3 days and three nights, from Wednesday afternoon at 3 o'clock until Sunday morning, he lay in the grave. But somebody said, "Where is he? Where is he?" And the angel said, "He is not here. He is risen. Up from the grave he arose." The price is paid. And you, a recipient of eternal life, a home in heaven being prepared for you right now, who ought to go to hell with me and spend eternity in hell forever. He paid for you. And you dare ask the question, isn't it my life? Can't I do what I want to? Yes, you can. Just like a man, if he wants to, can rob a bank. Yes, you can. Just like a man, if he wants to, can embezzle money. Yes, you can. Just like that woman allegedly killed her three children up in Naperville. Yeah, you can. But you will be a crook. I said a crook. You'll be dishonest. And you'll be, as far as God's concerned, an embezzler, a crook, a thief, and a robber. Why? Because you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Young man, I don't know what you're going to do. But if he did that for me, he has my spirit and my body. He bought them. Jesus paid it all. There's another line. All to him I owe. Shall we stand, please?